Let's first have our heads and say a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for the light of the Holy Spirit to illumine our intellects for the truth and strengthen our wills that we may pursue it in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. And dear friends of Christ, beautiful readings as always the Church presents before us. And what I would like to focus on today essentially is this letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Where he's talking, describing what love is, or a better word they say is charity, because in our English language, when we say love, I love my bike, I love my dinner, but loving God is a totally different type of love, so charity is more the essence of it, but we'll be using these words interchangeably. Our Lord, in one of his apparitions to St. Faustina, spoke a lot about love, and this is what he said: souls without love and without devotion, souls that are full of egotism and self-love, souls that are full of pride and arrogance, souls that are full of deceit and hypocrisy, lukewarm souls who have just enough warmth to keep them alive. My heart cannot bear this. All the graces that I pour out upon them fall off them as off the face of a rock. I cannot stand them because they're neither good nor bad. What our Lord is saying is that he wants his love to reign in our hearts, and not just a little bit, but to be a consuming fire that totally transforms us in our whole being. Now, St. Paul, in this letter to the Corinthians, he points out when that love of Christ has taken over a soul, that there's 15 qualities. And he puts them out real simply. First is patient. It's kind, not jealous, not pompous, not inflated, not rude. He's hitting here on humility as well. It doesn't seek its own interests. In our society, it always looks for what's best for me first. It's not quick-tempered. It's not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing. You hear something happens to a neighbor that you don't particularly care for, in your heart you have a secret happiness. Yeah, they got what there was coming from. But a heart that rejoices in truth. And then he says, a heart that has this love, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So beautiful qualities. Now, this list that St. Paul gives here, if we were to examine our conscience to this, we all fail in this to a certain degree. It may be all 15 of them, maybe just a couple of them, but nevertheless we fail and there's room for improvement. Now, all of us here, we should have a desire in our heart that we want to be charitable in our words, we want to be charitable in our actions, and that's good. But guess where it begins? It begins in our thoughts. If our thoughts aren't charitable, our words aren't going to be charitable. And obviously, if our words aren't charitable, our actions are not going to be charitable. So this one we'll focus on here, mainly just for a little bit, is our thoughts. Our thoughts. If we get those under control, if we strive to control our thoughts, that they're charitable, it'll come out then naturally in our words and our actions. For our Lord said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we're going to look a little deeper here. Now, we have a wicked tendency because of our fallen nature, even though we're baptized, the effects of original sin are still there, to pass adverse judgments upon actions without knowing any intentions. We delight oftentimes or sometimes in brooding over grudges, or past hurts, gloating over vindictive schemes against others. Sometimes we even foster grudges to the point of revenge. Make unkind generalizations. Let's say you're at work and the boss says, "No, you're always late for work." Maybe the person was late one time in the last month, and so that lack of charity is shown in a speech. "You're always late." Well, that's not true. It was just one day. Or aversions, lack of charity. "I'm totally going to avoid this person, the cold shoulder. You know what? I'm fed up with them. I'm not going to talk to them." And they can be living under the same roof. So that's not good. Now, when we sin against charity, even in our thoughts, because at the very beginning of the Mass, when we call to mind our sins, the penitent rite, it refers to thoughts as well, though, right? So like when we think that thought, and we go a little further, those thoughts always cross our mind, but when we hold on to a thought and give it some time, then we've crossed over. But now, When we think uncharitable thoughts, it hurts us spiritually, always. It hurts our soul. And it can get to the point that those are fostered, it could hurt our physical health as well. Let me give you a couple examples. One, this is from a priest. He's wrote some examples here, so we moved here from our parish setting. He said, one, he knew this man was very strong in many ways. And he died suddenly of a heart attack on account of an uncontrolled fit of anger against his brother. So it displayed that there was lack of charity there. And he just blew up, so much so that his body just shut down, had a sudden heart attack. Another one, a man who had been married for 5 years, had 3 children. And they were divorced on account of his unreasonable negative thoughts and uncontrolled suspicions about his wife. I can't believe it. She's cheating on me. She's doing this. She's doing that. She's doing that. So he kept fostering these thoughts that had no basis in reality. Some passing thought came by his mind, probably from the devil. She's not true to you. And all of a sudden, he holds on to those thoughts. He doesn't foster charitable thoughts and things. And it led to the divorce and family. Now, in the scriptures, we have many examples of our Lord points this out to me. We have the Pharisees. And the woman is washing the feet of our Lord and drying it with her hair. And they're thinking, oh my goodness, what's the Lord doing, associating, even like that woman touching him. But then the Lord said, basically, she is holier than you because she has loved much. She wasn't worried about what happened, but about her Lord. We have the story of St. John Vianney, which all parish priests are familiar with because he's a patron saint of all priests. The church has raised him up. And a pillar that here's the example, follow his example. He got it down pat. He died in 1859, patron saint of priests. Well, you know, when he started at the parish, and for the first several years at least, all the priests in the vicinity falsely judged him. This guy is no good. What is he doing? Spending all that time in prayer like that. He's down to the administrator. He shouldn't have been ordained. And there's a petition that ran around, written to the bishop, to remove him. Those lack of charitable thoughts, trying to move someone who declared the patron saint of all priests in a short time in the future. So very false judgment. Now, let me just say this. We must, many times we talk about judgments, people can interpret that the wrong way. If you're a police officer, and let's say you're sitting in the street and the speed limit is 40 miles an hour, and all of a sudden the car races by 87 miles an hour, well, he has to objectively judge that. 87 miles an hour, that person could kill himself, maybe children, other people in the area. So the police officer has to judge correctly. He is breaking the law. He's out of line. For a priest. Maybe I meet a couple, they're not married. I have to say, you know, what you're doing is not pleasing to the Lord. You're living outside of the sacrament of matrimony, well, how God had intended. Now, am I judging the hearts, condemning the heart? I'm not doing that, but I'm looking objectively what's going on there. Now, a parent must do that in the life of their child. If the child's doing different things, they may not know the child's intention, obviously, but objectively, they have to judge that to make sure the child stays on the correct road that leads up towards the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is an interesting example this priest speaks about. He said he was going to bed at night. It's after 10 p.m., and across the street, there was a party that was going on. And in the party, you hear a low chitter-chatter, because it's across the street some distance, but you hear some radio, the radio going, and music and other things. Now, what he could have done, he could have, man, I can't believe this, I'm trying to go to sleep, I gotta get up early tomorrow morning for Mass, I can't believe they're going on like this, blah, blah, blah. He stopped, and this is what he did. Watch how he changed his around with charitable thoughts. He was trying to foster this in his life, to charitable thoughts, his words, and actually charitable. He said, dear Lord, I pray that they just have a wonderful party. That be a wonderful reunion for all the people who are there. Isn't that beautiful? How he switched that around? Now, I'm not sure exactly when he got to bed, but he took that situation, took it to the Lord, and he changed it around. Isn't that wonderful? Now, all of us, we have a desire in the depths of our heart that we want to be happy. If we're not cultivating or striving to cultivate charitable thoughts, we're never really truly going to be happy. When I'm saying all this, I'm reading this, oh boy, yeah, guilty, oh, guilty. All of us have to work on this. Here's the trouble. If we're not trying to work on it, what do you think is going to happen? There's not going to be any progress. So we have to humble ourselves and recognize, okay, am I patient in all these situations that God presents to me? Am I kind? Is jealousy, is that rearing its ugly head in my heart? Are my decisions based on what's best for me and not the family and the rest of society? Am I quick-tempered? If I blow off the handle right away without even looking at the situation and asking the person? There's an example I gave a couple days with the Daily Mass, that St. Faustina, she was in chapel paying a visit to the Lord during the day, came to the communion rail, just looking at the tabernacle saying, Lord, I love you. And the devil hated Faustina, hated him, he would take visible form. What happened right when she did that? Flower pot on the altar picked up, moved, and smashed onto the ground. The devil had a plan here against her. So she's like, oh my, that's not good. The altar, the sanctuary, a broken a pot there, the flower. So she went into the sanctuary to start cleaning this up. And right at that moment, the sacristan, the nun sacristan came in, who's in charge of the sanctuary, and the mother superior. So right away, guess what they did? Faustina, what are you doing? That's not your job. You shouldn't be messing in the altar there. Look what that mess you made. See, they made a false judgment right there. They didn't ask, hey, what happened? You know, they probably weren't the believer anyway. Well, picked up by itself, went down. But sometimes we have to stop just for a second. And how many times we could have saved ourselves embarrassment or saved ourselves from hurting other people if we would just stop for a second. So here's a couple things. Three basic, simple rules that we could try in our daily spiritual life to cultivate charitableness in our words and deeds by first the thoughts. First, pray for that person for whom you feel a dislike or an antipathy. Pray for the person's spiritual temple warfare. So we have someone that's a big thorn in our side. Put them in the top of your prayer list. Pray for them every day. And maybe your child has gone wayward, gone off to college or something, got a big mouth in them or something. Or maybe it's an employer, former employer, maybe it's whoever. So you put that, Lord, I'm going to pray for that person. So you make an issue not between you and that person, but between God and that person. Asking God, who is love, to touch that person. And God sees that your intentions, that you're trying to love the person, to pray for your enemies. So that's beautiful. First, pray for that person. Second, never, when that person's name comes up, we've all been there, oh yeah, let me tell you some other things about the person. When that person's name comes up, never speak against that person. Unless your conscience or there's an obligation that you're bound to do so for some particular reason. So second, strive, especially if you can, when that person's name comes up, not to speak bad about that person. And then third, it's even a little more difficult. In the absence of that person, try to think, if their name comes up, try to actually think of something positive to say about that person. Here's the thing, all of us, God created this, right? We're all from God. Is God good? Amen, Father, He is good. So guess what? All of us have some innate goodness that's in us. We all do. Granted, it's difficult sometimes to see it, maybe in even ourselves or others, but there's goodness there. So we have to ask the Lord, Father, help me to put on the mind of Christ and to realize that your Son died for this person who's a thorn in my side. I know there's a goodness there. Help me to see it. I want to add this. In light of what's going on right now with the Boy Scouts, ask everyone to pray for the Boy Scouts. They've done wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. A lot of young men formed them to be really manly men and leaders and everything. And they have this Boy Scout oath. And part of the oath is that they on their honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God, when it goes on, and to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. There's a lot of pressure being put on them right now by benefactors, the Boy Scouts, to give in to approving of same-sex unions and letting all people who live that lifestyle to be admitted to Scoutmasters and other things like that. That's against truth. That's against love. Love is truth. Love is trying to conform our lives to living in conformity with God. So if that happens right away, their Boy Scout oath gets thrown out because they're not doing their duty to God. They're stepping away from truth and they're not living the morally straight thing. Now, all of us here, God loves us. He's got an infinite love. And as he said to St. Faustina, I pour out so many graces upon them, but the graces just flow off as they do a rock. Let that not be us. Let's ask the Lord today, Lord, may I be like a sponge, that every single grace that you shower upon me that comes my way, Help me to absorb it. May it become part of me and transform me. So I may be charitable in my thoughts, in my words, and in my actions. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.